Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
You're listening to the Mark Reardon Show.
I still don't think we have a sense of how devastating this hurricane was to people in North Carolina in particular.
Right.
And Fred hooked up with the Reverend Franklin Graham. Fred is, you know, he wears many hats here in this building, has been KMOX since the early 80s, and he is the religion editor on the KMOX side. So he had a relationship with Billy Graham and now Franklin Graham. Franklin is the CEO and the president of Samaritan's Purse, which is a great charity. I've worked with them for many years. And Fred talked to him earlier today about the relief efforts in North Carolina. We're going to air that conversation at the bottom of the hour. But first, David Strom from HotAir.com, associate editor. How are you? Welcome back to the show on this Tuesday afternoon.
I am doing great, and I'm going to pretend that I wish I were in St. Louis.
Well, here's something that you pointed me in the direction of, I think, in your column that just cleared here a short time ago. It was 1 year ago today that this happened.
And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
That was Jake Sullivan on this day 1 year ago. How did that work out for us, David?
Well, I mean, it's a perfect encapsulation of what's wrong with the Biden-Harris administration. They do not understand how power works, how the world works. And just so that people know, Jake Sullivan is a national security advisor. He's actually very close with Kamala Harris. And he published just days before October 7th, an article that bragged about how Biden had brought peace to the Middle East. And now we see the results of that brag, which are they don't understand. They have led us into a conflict of which tens of thousands of people have died. And I think it's likely that we're going to see a regional war in the Middle East. And, you know, perhaps the good thing will be Benjamin Netanyahu, you know, gets rid of the Iranian regime, but it will be no thanks to what the Biden administration has done.
You know, this made an impression on me. You embedded this tweet from Katie Pavlich from earlier today where she said, I read this earlier, just today, a dock strike not seen in 40 plus years that could cripple the economy, Katrina-level devastation in a number of southern U.S. states, war raging and a stalemate between Russia and Ukraine, and now hundreds of missile launches from Iran. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's going to qualify for an October surprise, any of those, but that all encapsulated presents a very interesting challenge for presidential candidates. And do you have a lot of confidence that Kamala can guide us through all these things, David, into the future?
Well, yeah, I mean, remember the whole argument to have a Biden administration was to restore normality, to get rid of the chaos that had been happening. And it is, of course, 180 degrees different from what they promised. I mean, Donald Trump had brought us the Abraham Accords. Arab countries were moving towards Israel, and I think they still are. They would prefer to be on Israel's side rather than Iran. Unfortunately, the Biden administration, and if there's a Harris administration, it too prefers Iran to the allies that we have right now. And, you know, they just fundamentally don't understand how power works, how the Middle East power structure works. And that's why we have this chaos right now. You know, it's really frustrating because it doesn't take a genius to see that what they have done is exactly wrong. It's just that this is the way the transnational elite sees the world.
So one of the reasons we invited you was because your guy, Tim Walz, David's up in Minnesota, is going to be on the stage tonight with J.D. Vance. And I thought this was brilliant. Jim Gaffigan on Saturday night.
I haven't been this excited since I got a 10% rebate on a leaf blower from Menards. What can I say? I got that BDE, Big Dad Energy.
David, I mean, Gaffigan nailed that, didn't he?
Well, 99%. Actually, it's with Menards, it's 11% off if you fit it into a bag. So, but it certainly is close. I mean, Tim Walz, you know, on the one hand, they're really doing their best to make it sound like he is such a rube that he doesn't even know how to talk in the debate. And you do have to remember that he's been in this game for 20 years.
Right.
I mean, he did six congressional campaigns and then two gubernatorial campaigns. So he's not exactly a neophyte. In fact, J.D. Vance has only had one election cycle. But on the other hand, Tim Walz is about 90 IQ, and J.D. Vance is about 160. And so there is a reason for him to Walz to be nervous. I'm just not sure he's smart enough to actually beat.
And then the real question would be, is this going to mean anything, make a bit of difference in this presidential race? Because I think everything is kind of locked in at this point. Whenever we hear about, you know, undecided voters, I sort of roll my eye. Maybe they are in existence out there. You think this has any impact? I guess if there's a big gaffe moment or something, and they're going to try to go to the eating of the dogs and the cats, I'm sure, multiple times tonight. And this is CBS, which is not exactly, again, known for its unbiased nature.
Yes. I mean, I think you're right on both angles. I mean, I think that 98% of voters are locked in. I think Donald Trump is probably in the poll position right now, despite what the polls are saying. You know, I think that things are looking good for him. I do think, though, that J.D. Vance, more than Tim Walz, has an opportunity here. And it isn't really about defeating Tim Walz. It's about breaking through the illusion that has been created by all of the negative media. I mean, I happen to think this guy is one of the talents of the generation. And if he can communicate through all the fog and everything that's thrown against him, Americans will look at him and think, you know, I can see that guy as president. Whereas I don't think there's a single American that's going to look at Tim Walz, a guy who flounces around like a gay man at a Taylor Swift concert, and say, I want him to be the president. And so I think that, you know, if there's an opportunity here, it's for J.D. Vance to show his stuff. Tim Walz has just got to survive.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think the thing about J.D. Vance showing his stuff is I think he has been showing his stuff here in the past few weeks, including doing a lot of cleanup in the aftermath of the last debate with Trump. But obviously, they go at him with a different level of intensity when they ask him questions than they do Tim Walz. Quite honestly, David, I haven't, and this is just from where I sit here in St. Louis, so you can kind of weigh in on this. Have you seen any coverage of Tim Walz in the last few weeks? We barely see him.
No.
So I don't know how much they show in Minnesota, but we don't ever see him on the national stage here for any coverage perspective.
I think it was the Washington Post that called him bubble wrap. you know, if anything, he is even less visible than Kamala Harris.
Yes.
You know, he is a profoundly flawed candidate. I think he's actually better than you would expect on the stump. It's just that he is, you know, his character is so flawed. I mean, he lies constantly and, you know, in exactly the same way that Joe Biden does. You know, I mean, he inflates his resume, but no one cares where you were in your law school class, but they do care about, you know, fundamental questions about your relationship to the Chinese Communist Party or whether you actually served in a war zone or, you know, you lied about it. And so I think they're hiding him and have
I
been
think they
hiding
are too.
Him
I think
all,
they
this,
are. Yeah.
All this time because he's so flawed in terms of his character, not as a candidate, but just as a person.
I wonder if that gets exposed in any way, shape, or form tonight, though. We will see. You know, one of the things I said, Scott Jennings was on my show earlier, and I was thinking about this just in relation to all these stories that we hear. And I'm looking at the polling, David, and, you know, I could go certainly put my finger up in the air and go either way here on calling this election because it is going to be so close. But I think maybe what's missing in some of the polling is there's an undercurrent out there. This existed in 2016 with working class people. But I do think that there's still a fair number of people, millions of people in this country, who are fed up with what's going on out there from a couple of different perspectives. Billions of dollars to Ukraine, migrants invading, crime running rampant, and they're tired of nobody paying attention to them. The auto workers in Michigan might be a good example of this. Look, I think that there is an opportunity for Trump there because, you know, a lot of the Democrat leadership, including the governor of Michigan, they've been a little tone deaf here on the climate stuff because they have people in their state that are out of work because of all this stuff. So I think that that's a bubbling undercurrent that's not there in all of the polling that still might shift this election.
Oh, I 100% agree. I mean, this election is going to boil down to whether or not, you know, and I'm going to use the J.D. Vance term, you know, single crazy cat ladies can outvote everybody else in the electorate. Because if you look, you know, Hispanics have moved away, union voters have moved away, African American voters have moved away. Anyone who is not in the privileged class is moving towards Trump.
They really have.
And so,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it really just boils down to whether Kamala Harris can mobilize enough young women. And I'm just going to be very blunt. Young women who want to have sex without consequence. And that's it. That's all they care about. And I know that sounds a little crude, but I mean, it really is, you know, women 35 and below who are either going to bring Kamala Harris over the top.
I think they stay home. I don't think they vote. You know, they'll claim that they're going to vote, but the turnout. We always know these younger people, they don't turn out. Every year we say, hey, younger people are going to turn out to vote, and they just don't do it. David Strom from HotAir.com. One more topic, just because we haven't touched the P. Diddy stuff on this show very much. If for no other reason, just because it's been, you know, so crowded in the news cycle. But you wrote a piece that basically said, I don't care about Diddy, but I care about who Diddy partied with, which is rather revealing, because there's all kinds of names in here, and this is not getting a lot of attention just because everything else is going on the planet.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, I don't follow popular culture, but the one thing I have seen in all these stories is he was out there, and I mean, let's just be blunt. I mean, he was abusing young men and young women while partying with our elite. And, you know, it's very much like the Jeffrey Epstein thing. And I think that, you know, if we ever see the list of people who are at those parties, you're going to be absolutely shocked, because they were participating in, you know, what essentially was human trafficking. And already we just saw another 100 people who came out and said, yes, I was abused. And it wasn't by Diddy. It was by Diddy and friends.
Right, right.
And those friends were the political elite. You know, I mean, go back and just look for photographs of people who Diddy was with. And it wasn't just every celebrity in the world. It was a lot of politicians.
Well, and this, you got this guy on Fox who went on with Jesse Waters, who his name is Gene Deal. He was a former bodyguard. He goes on there. Now, it's just one guy. But he says, I don't think it's just celebrities, David, to your point, going to be shook. He had politicians in there. He had princes in there. He also had a couple of preachers in there. That's, you know, that's an interesting little soundbite, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's all on film, and don't expect to see any of it. They are going to bury this deep, because I think you'll find out that a lot of people with very big names, and you're right, not just the celebrities and the musicians, but politicians, spent a lot of time with P. Diddy. I mean, he was the guy who was out there campaigning for Barack Obama, and who said there's no party like a Diddy party.
Well, and you know, this is another story that I didn't talk about, and this is fascinating, and I don't know, even know how much the audience is dialed into this. And Sue, you might be a good gauge here just because you work on the morning show as well. Did you hear the story about the guy, David, I know you've written about this, Jay Varma is his name. He was the COVID czar in New York City. Have you known? So, Dave, encapsulate that story, because this is kind of interesting, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Jay Varma, he was the guy who was in charge of the COVID response in New York City, which was some of the most harsh lockdowns in America. I mean, you had vaccine mandates, you had lockdowns, they were going after people who were going to religious services. And it turns out that this guy, at the very same time, was organizing orgies. Sex party.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what is
the peak of the pandemic he was doing this?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, these people are, one, degenerates, and two, they're power hungry. They want to tell us what to do.
Exactly.
And then they go out and, you know, I mean, I'm sorry, I've never once thought about organizing an orgy. You know, maybe
Well, shame on you. Look, Jesse Kelly, I think, had the greatest tweet. He put a link into the CBS News story about Jay Varma, and he said this. He asked the question, do you feel like there are a lot of sex parties you've never been invited to? Not that I want to attend, but I feel like there are a lot of these, and I never get an invite. I feel the same way. And don't say it's because I'm ugly, because this guy, Jay Varma, looks like a Lord of the Rings character, and he's got one. I'm with Jesse Kelly on that. I feel left out, David.
I 100% agree. I mean, this is the Democratic Party today. You know, and I don't, you know, normally I wouldn't attribute to a political party something like this, but it's 100% on one side. And, you know, they're degenerates. I mean, it's just that simple.
Well, enjoy the debate tonight.
Eating the dogs, the people that came in, they're eating the cats.
I'm sure we're going to hear about that tonight. Strom, great to hook up with you. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Always fun.
All right, bye-bye.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Almond Brothers to bump back in with. Fred, I had a Keane song that was on the bumper rotation list earlier, and that was for you because you're a fan of Keane.
I love Keane.
I know, I do love them too. Have you ever seen them?
No.
I never have either.
Not too long ago, and I'm disappointed I missed.
Yeah, me too, unfortunately. Well, you had an interesting conversation earlier today, and you know, I spent a lot of time, and I really do feel deep down in my heart and soul right now that the biggest story of the week should be what's happening in North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida, but the devastation from Helene. And I suggested yesterday, and I kind of knew this wasn't going to happen, I wish J.D. Vance would have said, you know what, we're going to postpone this debate. The people in North Carolina and elsewhere, they need desperate help right now, and show some leadership. You know, Trump went there. Where the hell is Biden on this? They're going to go for their photo ops. And I get that that's part of politics, but this is really, really bad for a lot of folks. So you have to explain who you spoke with here today.
Yeah, I talked with the Reverend Franklin Graham, the son of the legendary evangelist Billy Graham. He's head of Samaritan's Purse, which is his charity group based in Boone, North Carolina. And I've developed a relationship with Franklin over the years and his father when he was still alive. And we've often talked with people from Samaritan's Purse on the Mark Reardon Show because we support their Operation
charity.
Shoebox,
yeah.
which is a Christmas program that they do where you fill up a shoebox with gifts and they send it to people overseas. So we've got a long relationship. So it was pretty nice of him to take time out of his busy schedule dealing with all of the devastation in North Carolina and throughout the Southeast. And he took some time to talk with me earlier today. We're joined on the phone now by the Reverend Franklin Graham, the CEO and president of Samaritan's Purse. Reverend Graham, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Wanted to talk to you about what you've been seeing and experiencing in the North Carolina area where your base of operations is located.
This is the worst we've ever seen. The flooding that happened last week is just, it's almost like biblical in proportion. The roads that are damaged, the infrastructure that's been wiped out, the electrical system, communications, their entire communities here in Western North Carolina that people haven't heard from in a week, almost a week now, simply because no communication and the roads are gone. People can't get in. People can't get out. And it's just going to take some time. We have a helicopter. We've been flying it all day, going back and forth into some of these remote areas, taking water. And that is a big, big thing. After all this rain, you think nobody wants water. But drinking water is a big issue right now. And so we've been taking water. We've been helping to get people out. Also, we've set up hospital in a remote area that had their hospital damaged. So we've got an emergency room set up with beds and all the equipment and doctors and so forth. So we're busy, but we're able to do it because we've got a lot of volunteers that come to us from all over the United States, and we couldn't do it without these volunteers. Of course, we go always in Jesus' name. We want everybody we help to know that God hasn't forgotten them and that God loves them. He's not mad at them. But we go through these storms in life, and all of us go through storms in life. But what do you put your hope in? What do you put your trust in? And I put my trust in Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Tell us about some of the work the volunteers are doing.
I think some of the biggest work is mud outs. People's houses go underwater, and then when the water goes down, it leaves. Sometimes it's inches, but many times it's feet of mud. And that has to be taken out. There's trees down everywhere. There's some people have their house is okay, but there may be 50 trees down on the driveway getting in, and you have to cut those trees out so they can get out. So it's cutting trees, it's mudding out homes, and repairing roofs. So a lot of roof damage. So we have tarps so forth that we can repair a roof and keep a house dry. But again, it's just an army of volunteers. You know, last year, Samaritan's Purse, we had over 200,000 volunteers work with us at various capacities. And we just are so thankful for these men and women that come and volunteer and become the hands and the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in these communities.
You're not just busy working in North Carolina. Samaritan's Purse has also set up shop in some of the other states affected, right?
Yes, we're working in Georgia and Louisiana right now as well, but we're working in Tampa, Florida, Perry, Florida, Valdosta, Georgia. I was there yesterday. We're working over in Johnson City, Tennessee, which is next mountain. It's Johnson County, Tennessee, but it's Mountain City is the name of the community, and it borders where we are here in North Carolina. So we're working California, a number of places.
You were in Georgia yesterday with former President Trump. What did you see there?
Well, the biggest is they don't have the damage that's visible like we have here in the mountains. What you have there is a lot of agricultural damage. And, of course, Valdosta, it's the whole community is agriculture. And this is the third year in a row that the farmers, many of them, have lost all their crops. And it's just devastating the agricultural community. And these farmers need not low interest loans. They need debt forgiveness. They need to have their loans from last year paid off. And so our farmers and, you know, we give loans or not loans, but we give money to people that come across the border illegally. We need to be helping our farmers, and we need to help them pay off their debt so they can continue farming. And we've got the greatest farmers in the world in this country, And we need to take care of these men and women that produce the food that we eat.
We're talking with the Reverend Franklin Graham, President and CEO of Samaritan's Purse. Reverend Graham, what is needed?
We need volunteers. That's one of the big things. We also, of course, always need contributions. But I think more than anything else, we need people's prayers, praying that God will use us and we will be able to help people as God brings them across our path. You can't help everybody, Fred, but you can help some. And what those some that the Lord brings across our path are the ones that we want to help. And right now, there's a lot of people out there in the path, and we're going to do the best we can to help as many as we can.
How critical are charity groups in providing relief?
Well, the government can only do so much, Fred. Just to give you, for instance, a road coming into our office was damaged, and cars were having to go several miles out of the way just to get into our office. So we called the state and asked them if we could fix the damaged road. And they said, thank you. And so we went down with bought gravel and put the culvert in and filled in the hole and where people could use it again. The government can only do so much, and you've got to have people. You've got to have charity groups. But more importantly, what we're seeing here is neighbor helping neighbor. This is the American spirit. When you see your neighbor in trouble, you go help them. And that's what people are doing. And they're doing it to the best of their ability. I mean, thousands of lives have been saved because a neighbor was there and responded in a time of need.
You mentioned this earlier, Reverend Graham, but where does God come into all of this?
Of course, people think that, is God mad at me because he's allowed this storm to come and destroy my house or for the tree to fall on, for me to lose a loved one? The Bible says that God so loved the world, that's you and me and everybody else, that he sent his son to take our sins and die on a cross and shed his blood for our sins, and he was buried. But on the third day, God raised his son to life. And when we have these storms, we all go through storms. It may be a storm of cancer. It may be a storm of financial ruin. It may be a storm of, like we see here, where it's an actual floodwaters. Whatever these storms are, if we put our faith in God and his son, Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry. He will take us through not only this life, but into the next life, into his presence for eternity. And that's what I want people to know, is they can put their hope and trust in him.
Finally, Reverend Graham, where can people go to help if they want to help?
Oh, thank you for asking. SamaritansPurse.org. Just go to SamaritansPurse.org, and you can see how you can respond and be a part of helping the folks here in the eastern part of the United States.
Reverend Graham, thanks for your time. Best wishes, and our prayers are with you and everyone in your area.
Thank you. God bless you, sir.
There you go. The Hall of Famer, Fred Bottomer,
thanks,
is sitting
Fred.
Down with Franklin Graham earlier today.
The scary part about that whole interview was, they called an hour before to just check the lines because they said cell phones are down everywhere.
Right.
And coverage is so spotty that it would cut in and out. But then once we started doing the interview, I think it went just fine.
Aww.
Here's a little montage. People wondering where the administration is.
Mr. President, why weren't you and Vice President Harris here in Washington commanding this weekend?
I was commanding. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours yesterday and the day before as well. I command. Call the telephone.
Is there a reason that they could not be here?
The president did exactly what a president in this moment needs to do, which is directing his team to take action.
Do you wish that you spent the weekend here in Washington rather than in Delaware?
Come on, stop it. I sound frustrated, I am.
Yeah, look, I'm probably not as worked up about that aspect of it as some other people would be. What I would say is not what happened over the weekend, but what's happening in the week.
Right.
So in other words, look, this question always comes up. Would the optics, we're talking optics, would that have been better had the president been, in Washington? Sure. You know what would be a lot better? If the guy looked like he had enough energy to do anything. That would be helpful, right? But what would really be, I think, effective is get on a damn helicopter, go and meet these people, find out, get heads together. What do we need to do? Where do we need help? What states need to help? What resources do we need? And then explain it to the American people. This is a major, major disaster. This should have a presidential address. We're on the cusp of the VP debate tonight. Who cares about that? You got people that don't have homes. They don't have phone access. They don't have water. They don't have freaking food. This should be a national priority right now, and I feel like we're hardly even talking about it. I'm talking about it, and I know there's some media coverage, but we're so desensitized to some of these things. And I said this yesterday, and I'm not going to back down. This is going to get a lot worse in North Carolina. It just is. You have homes, businesses, entire communities that have been wiped away. They're not, you know, doing some repairs or anything like that. They're going to have to completely rebuild some of these areas, and we know that it's not all in very well. Asheville, I think, is a relatively wealthy community, but, you know, much of the area in western North Carolina that was hit is a poverty zone. So I just would hope that maybe tonight this was discussed in some way, shape, or form along the lines of leadership, because certainly J.D. Vance can relate to a lot of this at this point. Here's some residents in North Carolina.
We've lost everything. I mean, everything over 25 years of being in the house is gone.
It's my house. I've lived here for my daughter's entire life.
Everything's pretty much gone.
We took on 3 feet plus of water. All the furniture is destroyed. All the appliances are gone. The electronics are gone.
It actually reminds me more, and you know, I think we can relate to this here in St. Louis. This reminds me more of a tornado than it does a hurricane. I know hurricanes wipe things away as well, but think about Springfield and, you know, the devastation that we saw from that and the images, and, you know, multiply it times, I think, a lot, because that's what you have in North Carolina right now.
Yeah, well, also the flooding shots reminded me of 1993.
Yes, right. Absolutely.
I mean, it's like a combination of the two.
Yes, with homes being swept away and things along those lines.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, got this, so I'm just going to share this and see if we can get reaction. I guess I'm told that Jane tweeted this out. This is a Fox 2 story, and here's what it says. We'll just toss this to the crowd and to the audience and to the group in the room. Greater St. Louis, Inc. has introduced a new downtown public safety ambassadors program. Unarmed, uniformed security guards will patrol the streets, providing an additional layer of visible security. These security workers will work along with law enforcement. They will patrol on foot, bicycle, and in marked vehicles. The quote in the Fox story by Kurt Weigel with Greater St. Louis, Inc. is, "While we know that the hard work and additional patrols of SLMPD have helped reduce the rate of crime downtown, we also know that increasing public safety presence downtown with the ambassadors will add the sense of security for everyone." Look, my gut check on this would be, I think that would probably work. But the question is, why is this not coming from the mayor? Why is this coming from Greater St. Louis, Inc.? Where the hell is the mayor on this issue or the police chief in explaining this to people who live here and visit here?
Well, they're not going to do anything, which is why the people have had to take it upon themselves to come up with this.
And I'm grateful for anything that people can do to increase, you know, a secure presence throughout downtown. When I walk back here after a Cardinal game,
you don't want to do that, Fred.
It's scary.
Yeah, it is.
And, you know, I think we were promised super, super bright street lights that would illuminate the whole area to increase your safety or make you feel safer. I don't think I've seen that either.
Let me see. Jane Duker tweets every second. I don't know how she has time to do anything else. I'm looking for a damn tweet here on this particular topic, and I have to page down like 30 tweets. But she'll, of course, be here on Friday on the Reardon Roundtable. Let's see here. What did she say? She tweeted something that said, note that the city moved the starting time of the event to earlier to accommodate concerns. Oh, I guess it's National Night Out. That used to be a big deal. Remember when that was a big deal?
I do.
I would cover it every year. And I guess they're doing something a little different.
Is it National Afternoon Out now?
I think it is. It says, tonight is St. Louis City's official National Night Out. Find your local NNO party here. And then I guess they changed it because the starting time is earlier here. And they say the rationale behind this change is rooted in our commitment to fostering a safe and inviting environment for everyone. We understand that in certain areas, community events often conclude by 7 p.m. due to concerns related to local crime rates. By moving the permit time earlier, we hope to mitigate those concerns and encourage more widespread participation throughout our neighborhoods. In other words, hey, it's too damn dangerous to do this too late, so you better do it earlier. That's really something. It really is. Okay. Well, we'll have that to talk about, I guess, as we get to Friday in the Reardon Roundtable. I do have some stuff for audio cut of the day and an interesting plan from some very, very wealthy people that want to change college athletics and kind of bypass the NCAA. We'll get to that next as well. All right, I have audio cut of the day coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Obviously, tomorrow on the show, we're going to highlight everything that happened during the Veep debate tonight. You can listen to it here on 97.1 FM Talk. We are not having a debate watch party, which we did for the previous two debates, but we'll have full reaction tomorrow here on the show. I may actually watch this in real time, Sue. I might do something a little different. I mean, I've done that for the last two, but sometimes when I get home, I don't want to do politics more, and we have to go to the Thomas Helbig event right after the show. In fact, for those people who are going to join us in just a short time at the Plaza Frontenac Hilton, Thomas knows the debate is tonight. He's going to get people out of there very quickly. So it's going to be an hour in and out. You won't have to take a lot of your time. Ethan Hannaford is our new producer here, taking over for Abby. And you're pretty sports-oriented. I know you do play-by-play for Lindenwood. But there was an interesting story in the Wall Street Journal today about the possibility of a Super League in college sports. And this is something that's not new. People have talked about it for a while. Mm-hmm. Sue, to kind of put this into perspective, you know, I'll go back to my days when I was first covering Mizzou, when Mizzou was in the Big Eight. All right, you had Oklahoma State, K-State, Kansas, I'm going to forget a couple, Nebraska, and Iowa State. I might have actually gotten them all in there.
I think you may have.
That's amazing. But then it became the Big 12, and now it's beyond that. And then you got Big 12 teams that are now in the SEC. Mizzou used to be in the Big 8, the Big 12. Now they're in the SEC. Now the Pac-10 doesn't even exist, right? You have all these teams that have gone into what I guess you would maybe call like super conferences, but still kind of, you know, run by the NCAA. So there's a bunch of guys out there, and they kind of outlined this yesterday. Len Perna is one of their names involved here. He's the chief executive of this firm called Turnkey ZRG. And there's another guy who was the former Major League Soccer Deputy Commissioner, Mark Abbott. And they call themselves College Sports Tomorrow. And what they want to do is unify more than 130 teams that compete in NCAA college football and the football subdivision into one nationwide competition. Have you heard much about this, Ethan? Did you see this story this morning?
No, I haven't heard this story. But as you mentioned, this is something that people have been discussing more and more since, really in the last couple of years, since the announcement of Oklahoma, Texas to the SEC. But it seems the farther and farther away we get, or I guess we get into NIL, the more realistic this becomes.
Well, and what they're saying here, and this is where I think it becomes a little confusing, they're saying that this would exist as a parallel structure to the NCAA. Some people, I would put myself in this camp, want to get rid of the NCAA altogether, maybe have something else that runs this. But what they're saying is, this is not trying to create minor league professional football. This is about, they always say this, this is about the student athlete and actually trying to enhance the college experience for everyone. Oh yeah, and it's about money. Okay, let's face it. So what they would do here is they would split the college student football league, would be split into two tiers with different divisions based on geography, because it's a little weird right now. Ethan, you know this. UCLA, USC, they're in, like, USC's in the Big Ten now, right?
No, they're traveling across the country to play Rutgers, to play Maryland.
Right, that's insane. They would do the top 72 programs, Mizzou would be included in that, would be split into 12 six-team divisions, with the remaining 64 spread across eight divisions in a lower tier. The teams in the top tier, like Mizzou or Illinois, would play 13 games, with the best performers in one season receiving the toughest opponents in the next. So the way they have it broken down is in the East, the Mideast, the Great Lakes, the Midwest, the South Carolinas, the Mid-South, the Southeast, the South, the Plains, Texas, Southwest, and West. They put Missouri, and this is all a model right now.
Sure.
They put Missouri in the Plains division, which would have essentially every team that I just mentioned from the Big Eight, except for two. It would have Colorado, Kansas State, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State. There would be no true promotion or relegation. Some people think like a relegation model, like they do in soccer, might be somewhat valuable here. I don't know about that. But the top teams in the lower tier would still compete for two berths in the 24-team playoff. Sue, in case you're keeping track of the math, used to be a 4-team playoff. This year, it's a 12-team playoff, right?
Okay.
So now they would say, look, we can do a 24-team playoff, and you know there'd be a lot more money into that. I don't know where this is going to go.
Is that what it's about, I assume, money?
Oh, it's all about
money. Well, it's always
about money, right?
But they are trying to, I also think this, in fairness to these guys, they're trying to be realistic, because here's what's happening. And I had lunch with my friend Ken Dubinsky, who's been in here. He works with Luther Burden III on some of the chips and everything with the sponsorships in NIL. But you have to remember, and Ethan, you know this, all these universities you already have your budget, right? You're bringing money in, you got to spend money. But now you got to add to the list expenditures of up to $22 million because now NIL is going to change. They have to compensate players for the first time, just like in a paycheck situation. Right now, these kids are contract labor. They get hit with, you know, 1099s. They have to take care of their own taxes. That's going to change. The other thing is, there is an NCAA settlement that is worth $2.8 billion for former athletes for, you know, Reggie Bush is involved in this, improperly using their name. So that's a lot of money that universities are going to have to, you know, find different ways to, you know, raise money. And then you have to spend the money. So this is one of the reasons that this group is coming together, because they think that it's more the reality of the landscape moving forward. And I'm not so sure they're wrong, by the way.
And quickly, before we move on, we're now, I think, going to start seeing teams probably charging in the tickets an extra percentage that is going to go specifically towards NIL. We saw that happen. Tennessee just announced that. A couple of other teams have announced that. So it wouldn't surprise me if this ends up coming out of fans' pockets eventually as well.
Well, of course. All right. I don't even have time to do the audio cut of the day intro, but there's so much going on. I just feel like this, because we're on the cusp of the vice presidential debate, is appropriate.
Eating the dogs, the people that came in, they're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
Well, I think that's going to be discussed tonight. Enjoy the debate. We'll come back at 3 o'clock tomorrow to talk about it. Have a great night.
Get more at 971talk.com.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.